B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
There's no reason to touch
them. And inform you in the afternoon.
I think your cheeks are a little loose.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
5 seconds frozen on the clock. The Patriots with a 13-3 lead over the Rams. Tom Brady, about to be a six-time champion, takes the snap, drops to the knee. And the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title. In the early 2000s, they won 3 of 4. Now they have won 3 of the last 5. Yes, it's still a dynasty.
Six-time world champion. And there ain't nothing you can do about it. And they're still here. And I don't think they're done.
Greg Bedard here at Tom Craig Tire Studios here in Dorchester. Catch us on 98.5 FM dial in Boston. Simulcast across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. Catch us anytime on the app, 98.5, the Sports Hub app. Great little product there. Download that to your smartphone. And the stream comes right up. You also get the replays. So if you miss us, you just catch up that night, the next morning, and you are whole. Felger and Maz whole. Still discussing Super Bowl 53 with, again, Bedard from the Boston Sports Journal. Who was the big loser in this game, Bedard?
McVay. I mean, you know, no question. I mean, you know, he said it after the game. He got completely outcoached. He got pantsed by the Patriots. I mean,
when you look back at adjustments that could have been made, what would you look at?
Well, I mean, the big thing is you know, the way the Patriots were kicking the rear end out of their 11 personnel. You know, one running back, one tight end, 3 wide receivers. The Patriots had a plan for that. I mean, they've run 11 personnel like 90% of the time during the season. So the Patriots got prepped for that. A smart coach like Bill Belichick would have said, okay, they're going to be preparing for this. We need to come out with something different, at least to throw them off at the beginning, and come out in 12 personnel, which worked for them. And they're actually, if you look at the advanced analytics from Sharp Football and Football Outsiders and stuff like that, their 12 personnel has been much more efficient for them this year. So, I mean, with that much time, and it worked for them later in the game. That's how they're moving the ball. And you would have thought with that much time to prepare, McVay, I thought McVay was going to come out with some wrinkles, something like that, and he just didn't. He basically said, we're going to do what we do. I mean, really? That was pathetic. I was disappointed. He's much better than that, but he was terrible.
Maybe he tightened up. Again, the thing that blew me away was the comment after the game about, well, they usually play a lot of man, you know, and this time they changed it up and played zone. And I went, what?
I mean, what?
Like, how do you not anticipate that? Like, on the chance that they're going to throw a wrinkle at you, you have to be prepared for it. He wasn't ready for it.
Right. What'd they do? Practice for 2 straight weeks against man-to-man coverage solely? That's what it looked like on the field, because it looked like Goff hadn't seen zone coverage in weeks. And that's a coaching fail, complete fail.
See, I give the Patriots credit for that one, too. We touched on that briefly because they played man for the majority of the year. Gilmore's strength is man. And you know what? They said, no, we can't do that against this team. And so they played more zone than they usually do. Like, to me, that's just, and that's who Belichick is. That's what he wants to do on a week-to-week basis. But I think Gilmore restricts them in some capacity to do that.
Okay, we continue with your thoughts before we get to 10 questions here. Here's Kel and Lowell. Go ahead, Kel.
Hey, guys, I just wanted your thoughts on, I understand why Julian Edelman got the MVP. I completely agree with it. He was a beast. But when I was watching the game, you know, my second thought was if he didn't get the MVP, I thought it might have should have went to either Matthew Slater or Ryan Allen, because for most of the game, they were punting the ball and pinning the Rams in their own zone.
Okay, so let me stop you. I thought the punter was awesome. I thought it was a factor. It's going to take more than that for me to, you know,
have to give him the MVP
punter
award.
Be the MVP. Who should have been second in the MVP voting, Greg?
Probably Van Noy or Hightower. I mean, but they probably would have split the vote. I mean, because they're both so, I mean, even on my tallies, they were almost identical.
I didn't hear Gilmore on your 3 up. And how would you assess his day?
You know, I thought it was good. I mean, I thought it was competitive. I mean, you know, he's in zone. It's not really his strength. So, you know, Cooks caught a couple balls in front of him, but he was pretty competitive. I've seen him in other games where, you know, maybe there wasn't a lot on the line. Say this was Buffalo or say the Jets. You know, he would have taken his sweet ass time, you know, coming up and defending some of these passes. But he was on point in this game, largely, I didn't have any issues with him.
Good, not great. Like, his whole year, like, his whole, you know, being.
He's a little overrated.
I thought his best play of the game was the one when C.J. Anderson pushed him in the face and he still knocked the ball out.
I'll say this about Gilmore. I think he's one of these guys that just, it's almost effortless for him. You know, so I think he doesn't look as impressive as he is. I also don't, you know, on the other side of the coin, I don't buy into all these, you know, statistics. Well, he was, you know, they completed so much. You know, that there's a lot of intangibles and all that stuff. That's why I don't keep those stats.
Well, I mean, what I look at is something very rudimentary, and that is...
Is the other team afraid of him?
Right. It's exactly it. Yeah. And sometimes when you have a lot of stats, that's not a great sign. I've said this a lot. You know a corner's having an elite year when he has no stats. He has only a few interceptions, very few passes defended, and what that tells you is that they're not throwing to him.
They don't mess.
Okay, they don't mess with Revis in his prime, or Ty Law in his prime, or Bailey in his prime, or these guys that, you know, those shutdown guys. When I watch Stephon Gilmore and a team wants to go to Brandon Cooks against Gilmore, they go to him. And sometimes Gilmore makes the play because he's good. But it's not like Gilmore ever prevents you from going where you want to go with it. You know, I mean, that I notice in my layman's opinion of. He's good. He's pretty good, but I don't put him on that level. Joe and Stoneham on Tom Brady. Go ahead, Joe.
Hello, I'm Joe from Stoneham. I thought the game was a defensive game. It was a great game, old-fashioned game. I'm 65. I've seen all the Super Bowls. Brady played great. This was a good game.
Okay, good game, but how could you say Brady played great? We'll get to whether it was a good game or not coming up here in 10 questions. In fact, Aaron wants to hit on it. Aaron, did you think it was a good game?
Oh, Felger, thank you. I thought it was horrible. And listen, this is coming from a D1 athlete. I played at the same university that Van Noy played at. So this is not just an average couch potato talking to you. It was boring. It was the punt bowl. I was just disappointed at the offense. And I frankly thought that this was Belichick's sort of redemption for last year, where it was Brady who single-handedly brought us to the brink of the title there in that game. This was Belichick saying, this one's on me, I'll take it, and carried us through.
Okay, so that second storyline I think we sort of agree with. You know, he redeemed himself from last year, and it was more about Bill this year than Brady and all that. Whether it was a great game or not, we will address in 10 questions. So we'll leave that to the side. I'm surprised how many people didn't like the game. I'll just put it to you like that. Tom in Duxbury, what do you got for us, Tom?
Do you pay Hightower?
Not again. No. No, sir. No, sir. And in fact, I got to look at his contract. I'd be surprised if they don't ask him to take a pay cut this year. I don't know what the exact parameters are, but I think he's in that zone of, you know, I don't know if he's going to get his money in the first place.
It's going to be a fascinating offseason because you got a lot of guys like that. McCourty's talking about retiring. Gronk might retire. Like Edelman's going into the final year of a contract. Brady's going into the final year of a contract.
Devin McCourty ain't getting his money.
Hightower has an $11 million cap next year.
Okay. What's the base salary? Am I looking at, is it $7 million? I got Sport Track up here. They got a $7 million base salary, which is not guaranteed, which bye-bye. Say goodbye to that $7 million, Dante. They're not paying you $7 million. I mean, that's just a guess on my part, okay? Because, and we can look at that dead money hit if they cut him. It feels like they're saving $7 million if they cut him.
I think, you know, the way things have gone, like the way it went for his free agency, where, like, Jets turned him down due to the medical, the Patriots know that. And I think what they're going to do, I could see them saying, like, you're either taking a pay cut to that or we're releasing you. Then Hightower goes out there, doesn't find anything, and he comes back to the Patriots.
So he's got a $7 million base. He's got a $800,000 roster bonus, which I don't know if that's guaranteed. Generally, they're not. So now you're at almost $8 million. Then he's got a miscellaneous column. I don't know what that is. Workout bonus, perhaps, for another six. So now we're
talking. Those are game day roster bonuses.
Okay,
so $875.
Okay, more day roster bonuses. Yep. Excellent. So now you're talking about $8.5 million. That's a lot of savings there. $8.5 million to save if you cut him. Now, I'm not telling you he's gone, but if they say, Dante, instead of us $8.5 million in new money, here's $4 million. You've saved yourself $4.5 million, and you're like, I can see that happening. I'd be surprised if they brought him back for that number.
No, too high. Yep. Yeah, too high. And again, he's not the only one. They got a lot of decisions to make. Trent Brown's up, too. All those names we rattled off.
Oh, and he's going to get paid.
He is going to get paid.
He was good. You're in the same spot at left tackle as you were last year. A good left tackle who's going to get paid, and do you want to match that? I think Brown was better than Solder, but it's the same sort of dynamic. You're right, a lot of contract questions.
Big time.
Okay. Thank God we have a long offseason to get to all of it. Coming up next, 10 questions with the big boy.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
You want the answer? You've got to ask the question.
Do you have an opinion based on if you had to go with your gut, which way it would go?
Sometimes you have to ask it over and over and over again.
Why?
This is 10 Questions with Greg Bedard and Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right. For the 20th and final time this year, 10 questions around the league with Bedard.
We love this.
Stay on time. 10 minutes, 10 questions. Jimmy, what are our buzzer options this week?
Dominic Sue worries me.
Yes, nice Italian boy from Prince Street, North End.
Belichick is not a warm, fuzzy character.
So we have a million of those.
I like Belichick.
Hey, for example.
Belichick doesn't care.
Like I said.
Belichick is phenomenal.
Keep going.
It's 4:02, coming up on 4:02 in the evening.
Yeah, I just wanted to drive that home. It's an important time of day.
Bruins host the Philadelphia Eagles at TD Garden.
Nope. It's, you know, it's quite an interesting matchup.
That sounded Felger a week ago tonight in the Uber that we took back to the hotel. Press back.
So I heard this before the show. I laughed every time I heard it. Play it again, Jimmy. Play it again.
I'm sorry, what was that again?
That was the sound of you outside the Uber a week ago tonight.
Next.
Go Pats.
That was actually said. I love it. That's not photoshopped. Next.
Felger.
Yeah.
Say it. Felger.
Felger.
Maz.
Maz.
Murray.
Murray. Felger Maz Murray.
Hey, that was Maz barking at the heavyweight champion of the world to remember our name. That's tremendous. Okay, go.
Go Pats.
Number 10. Big boy. You've had these questions since about 11 a.m.
So yeah, okay. Whatever.
Number 10. Who would you rather have as your head coach? Bill O'Brien or Brian Flores?
Bill O'Brien. I mean, he's done it. He's been a head coach at Penn State. He's done it okay. I mean, he hasn't had the greatest, you know, talent in the world, but this is a big season for him. You know, we'll see how good he is this season. But Flores, I mean, the Dolphins already said they're tanking, so good luck with all that.
Boob. I'm going boob, but it's close. Because the bottom line is, I admit, O'Brien's ceiling is limited. At best, he's like a C+, B- coach.
The right way to look at it.
But you never know what Flores is, so the right thing might be to roll the dice, but O'Brien's a safer bet.
I'm going with Flores. O'Brien has had success, but I have to hold that playoff no-show against the Colts against him until he can finally win a playoff game. Well, he has actually against Kansas City, but that was like fake because, please. Either way. Oh, no, Kansas City won. Either way, I'm taking Flores. I'm going with the unknown.
Okay, exactly. Flores's floor is lower, but his ceiling should be higher. Next.
Belichick is phenomenal.
Okay, here's the question again we just got last segment. Did you like the game? Greg, was it a good product?
I did like the game. I thought it was a great chess match between the two teams, but of course, I like football. So I liked it. Was it a good product? No, it was not. I mean, you have basically what amounts to nationally the evil empire, the Patriots, against a quarterback who was actively peeing down his leg during the game. So, no, it was not a good product.
Yes, I liked it. No, it wasn't a good product. Especially in the second half. The Rams just, I expected to see something in the second half. They gave me zero. Zip.
Yes and yes. It was dramatic, excruciatingly nerve-wracking, and it could have gone either way until late in the fourth quarter.
Totally agree.
Yes and yes, I agree. I agree. After all, for those who are a certain age, maybe it's a younger demo thing, because really, for the last 20 years or so, the Super Bowl's been good. I mean, starting with, I think, that Rams Titans game in 99. Yeah. Like, I think since 99 to now, there's only been like two or three games that haven't been competitive.
where if you looked previously, you know, remember that run that we had with the Niners when they get to the Super Bowl, or the Giants would get to the Super Bowl, at least the second time, or the Reds? Like, do you remember how many blowouts we used to have in that game? How many useless, uncompetitive blowout football games we used to have in the Super Bowl? This thing was 3-3 in the fourth quarter.
But one thing about the product, the Super Bowl is always about the layperson. The person who shows up, you know, yeah. Aunt Judy shows up with her dip. Do you think those people like that game?
No, probably not. Next.
It's 4:02, coming up on 4:02 in the evening.
Number eight, Julian Edelman. Is he a Hall of Famer? He was starting to get some Hall of Fame buzz last week.
As of today, nope, no chance.
No.
Do you care to expound there, big fella?
Well, I mean, what do you want? I think we talked about it the last week on Radio Row. He's got like 500 career receptions. I mean, he's been a great postseason player. He's a great player for this team. But as of today, now if he plays for another 5 or 7 years and he continues to do what he's done, okay. But I think he needs another 5 years of his current pace.
Tell you
but
what,
as of right now, he's not even close.
I'm even willing to say, give me 3 more years. Like, you know, I'll take him on my team any day of the week. But Hall of Fame is also about the full body of work. He's not there yet.
He's had one 100 catch season.
He would make my Hall of Fame based on his postseason clutchness, but he won't make the Pro Football
Welker
Hall of Fame.
First, then maybe Edelman.
Don't mix liquor and edibles.
So we should spend at least 30 seconds on this, just 30 seconds. Your thoughts on Adam Levine and the halftime show. Is his name Adam?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Adam Levine. I blanked on his name.
I didn't hear it. Didn't hear any of it, so I don't know.
It's because Big Boy was part of the halftime
That's
show.
Right. That's right. How was Big Boy? I heard he was good. Heard he kicked it old school.
I heard Big Boy was coming out. I expected to see Bedard sitting in the back
with
of that caddy.
B-O-I.
Boring, safe, instantly forgettable.
Do you have a thought, Maz? Did you watch it?
Yeah, I did. I thought it sucked. I mean, again, especially when it takes his shirt off. And I saw Maroon 5 with my kids at the Garden. I didn't love that show, but it was fine. I mean, you know, I understand the hits. It's who it appeals to, all of that. This Super Bowl show, the halftime show compared to some of the other ones I've seen, smelled terrible.
Next.
Go Pats.
Number 6. Thoughts on the broadcast? Nance, Romo, maybe some of the post-game stuff with the poor sideline.
Wolfson.
Yeah, sideline gal. And Brady, any thoughts on that?
I loved Romo. I loved how the announcers were honest about the game, about how there wasn't much going on. And then, yeah, I was watching the Wolfson. I couldn't believe it was live on television that they were waiting all this time and all the background noise. It was crazy.
I didn't mind that, actually. I thought it was different. And rather than her jumping in, let me see what's going on between the players. You're going to ask him some stupid-ass question anyway that he's not really going to answer. So give me the raw stuff. I'll take the raw stuff any day of the week. And I know I dumped all over him when he started. I think Romo's terrific. Really, I think he's excellent. My one major gripe, and I said this to you yesterday, they needed to show me more replays. You know, they would call a penalty on the field, or there'd be a play in the backfield or whatever, and you'd wait to see who blew it or what happened, and they didn't show you a replay. They need to show me more replays.
Like the Chung hit early in the game, there was no replay of that, and then all of a sudden they called defenseless receiver, you know, against the Rams, and like you can't, and there's no overhead views. I mean, come on.
I have yet to watch the broadcast, but I will say this about the postgame. Hurry up. Get the stages out there. Get up there. Hand over the trophy. Let's go. I don't remember it ever taking that long.
It bugged me that Nance was complaining about the game. It's your job to make it interesting, dude. It's not your job to say, this sucks. And it's they pay a lot of money. The broadcast pays a lot of money. You're supposed to... It was a close, tightly contested game. Play up that aspect of it. So that sort of bugged me. The postgame thing, I liked Brady. Again, Brady, he was taking care of some personal thing. You know, he wanted to embrace his guys first. He wanted to spend a minute with C.J. Anderson first before he talked to the national media. I give Brady credit on that. I told you.
I like that.
I really liked the way Brady handled himself all weekend. I thought he came across as a more down-to-earth. I thought he was nice. I thought he was accommodating to the local people and engaging with the local people. And I liked the whole cut of Brady's jib that weekend. I really did. I do find it surprising that Brady went to Disney World. I feel like that I'm going to Disney World thing was beneath him. I feel like he's been turning that thing down for years. And now he goes? Like, I don't get that. But anyway, next.
Felger.
Yeah.
Say it. Felger.
Felger.
Maz.
Maz.
Murray.
Murray. Felger Maz Murray.
Deontay Wilder, the Bronze Bomber, one of the largest human. And we get to come across large human beings from time to time. This is a giant of a man. And Maz is standing
up. I like how Maz is barking at him.
Barking at him. Yeah, it's great. Final tool bag question. Biggest tool bag of Super Bowl week.
Jim Gray for that interview with Tutcher and Rich.
That's who I had. You stole it from me. You did my sheet. Yes, you did. You looked at my sheet.
Dumber kids in
Jim
class.
Gray, runaway tool bag, maybe the tool bag of the year.
I know.
Forget
Stedman.
The Super Bowl.
Stedman knows my wife. Oprah knows Stedman. I know Tom. Tom knows Oprah. Giselle knows Oprah. I will go with any dork.
So embarrassing.
Jesus Christ, Jim. Just get off there. Just get off the set.
I'll go with any dork writer who has since written that Julian Edelman shouldn't have been playing in the Super Bowl because of PED suspensions. Like, get off your high horse. Oh, what's it say to the children? They don't do it in baseball. Wah, shut up.
Are people actually writing that?
Oh, yeah. No, it was in the USA Today
yesterday. It was in the USA Today.
I thought the USA Today column was about Kaepernick being out but Edelman being in. Which you can go,
no, that was John Heyman. Like, some of the baseball nannas have written this, too.
I don't mind that take. I don't mind that take one bit.
Yeah, it's football. Please. If you're not taking PEDs, you can't play.
Well, look, I'm not saying I agree with it, but in another sport, he's not even playing that game. Never mind winning the MVP.
Belichick doesn't care.
Okay, here are the current Super Bowl odds for 2019. Here are the names listed on the board that I saw, the top four. Top three, so there's some ties, so there's more than one for each one. But here are the top three. Tell me the best bet on this board. If you think there's a better bet off the board, you can tell me that as well. KC, leader in the clubhouse at 6-1. Pats and Rams, 8-1, as well as the Saints, 8-1. And then at 14-1 are the Chargers and the Bears. What's the best bet on that board?
Pats.
KC.
Saints. I think Saints, because they have a ton of talent on both sides of the ball. They've made a deep run these last couple of years. It just feels like they're going to break through next year.
I think that the Saints, and I've been big on the Saints. I picked them to win the Super Bowl this year. I think they're going to flame out. I think that what's gone on the past couple of years, the Vikings lost. Now the ref, like, I think they're just out of it. KC still has Andy Reid, and they're going to, well, I mean, who's this? Spagnuolo?
Yeah.
Well, they got a chance now with Spags there. The Rams, no. The Chargers, Gus Bradley's still there, and the Bears, Mitch Trubisky's still the quarterback, so they have no chance.
Yeah, the league is going to belong to Patrick Mahomes very, very soon.
Yes, true.
Next.
Go Pats.
TV Super Bowl ratings were the lowest in 10 years. Does it mean anything?
People are sick of the Patriots. I mean, largely, nationally. And then, you know, they lost New Orleans. The New Orleans ratings completely tanked after the ref thing, and no one cares in L.A. still right now. So they're losing a bunch.
Does it mean anything cataclysmic? No, but it does mean some things. It means that, as Greg said, people are sick of the Patriots. It means L.A. still sucks as a football market. Yeah. I'm sorry, even though the ratings there were good.
A ton of people watching
it. And it means the game smelled is what it means.
Okay, I think it was the game smelled. The L.A. number, it was below the national average, but they did a huge number. And you're just talking about the percentage, right? The ratings point is 44 was what they did in L.A. A 44 in L.A., do you understand how many people that is? They killed it in L.A. I mean, it'll get better. It should be better eventually.
Better.
But
mm-hmm.
They've only been there 2 years. That people are downing that L.A. number, that's not a bad number for L.A.
People are consuming it differently, so that's what it means. The streaming numbers were up 19%.
Next. Speaking of the Rams, what happens to the Rams next year?
I think they lose in the divisional round after a bye.
You know, okay, so that's really being specific. My sort of question is, are they the next Falcons, Eagles, Seahawks? Like, is just this next NFC to peak, get beat by you,
yep.
Or, you know, and that, or Eagles beat you, obviously, but are they the next one of those?
I mean, they'll get in the playoffs next year as a wild card. They'll finish second to San Francisco.
They dip a bit. They finish second to Seattle, who won 10 games in a rebuilding year.
Jimmy.
Next.
Belichick is phenomenal.
Final one. Please rank in order. Muhammad Ali, Jack Nicklaus, Michael Jordan, Wayne Gretzky, Tom Brady.
I went Gretzky, Jordan, Brady, Nicklaus, Ali.
What?
What?
What, from 5-1 or 1-5?
No, that's 1-5.
1-5.
You got it ass backwards.
You got it ass backwards.
Ali's number one. Nobody will ever overtake Ali in my mind. I mean, there's just too many.
Hold on. You went Gretzky 1, Ali 5?
Yeah, in terms of championships and all the records that he has in his sport.
Okay, yeah. Keep going.
Okay, I had Ali number 1, Jordan number 2, Brady 3rd, Jack 4th, Gretzky 5th.
I had Gretzky 5th, too.
Jordan, Brady, Ali, Gretzky, Nicklaus.
You still go Jordan over Brady, Murray?
6 of 6. I look six
that, and he took years off in his prime.
Okay,
that's
that
why
was,
I gave it Jordan over Brady.
That was his fault. That was self-inflicted.
How do you?
How do I know?
I also tell you that I think...
What do you think happened? Do you think he decided to, while he's in the middle of the prime of his career and winning championships, he said, no, I'd rather go ride buses in Alabama for a minor league baseball team? You think that makes any sense? Does anyone really believe that's what he wanted to do? Or did David Stern said, Mike, you're getting in some trouble here. Take some time off. We're not going to call it a suspension. Go do whatever you want. I don't care. Go play baseball for all I care. But get out of here. That's what happened. Come on.
I look at it more about, and I don't think you can minimize this, global reach. And basketball is just a more international game than football is. So that's why I put Jordan ahead of Brady.
Murray, what's better, 6-0 or 6-2?
6-0. I'm sorry.
6-2. You make two extra championship games. We discussed this.
6-3.
Six and three, even better.
No, but six appearances, six titles. No, that still puts him ahead of Brady.
Then Montana's 4-0 should put it ahead of Brady.
No, it's different.
It's the same principle to me. The fact that Brady made three more championship games is to his benefit, even if he lost them, not to his detriment.
Look, I'm factoring in other things. I'm just telling you, Jordan is an international phenomenon.
I didn't go with Q rating or any of that. Yeah, that's why. I mean, I would have went with Ali if I did, but I'm just going in their sport. Championships plus records, all that stuff. Sorry, it's Gretzky for me.
Fair enough. I mean, does Gretzky own more records than Brady?
I think so.
I mean, I don't keep track of it.
I mean, when he left the game, didn't he have everything by like leaps and bounds?
How many did he win? Four?
I think he only won three. Yeah, Messier won the last one without him.
I was going to say, I think he only won three.
And then Messier won another one with the Rangers. Like, I think you could argue that Mark Messier was a better winner than Wayne Gretzky.
Gretzky might have underachieved from the championship standpoint. But either way, I mean, I just wanted to put a hockey player on there. I don't know if you want to put Gordie Howe. I mean, I don't know who you put on there.
No, Gretzky was the right guy.
Gretzky's the guy. I think Brady and Jordan is, you know, Brady and Jordan's the conversation. And it's sort of stupid because then you start, like, ripping one guy over the other. Like, no. If you say Jordan, fine. If you say Brady, fine. But I think that's the conversation.
Put Ali first?
Yeah, Ali's first. Okay. So. Ali's first. Greatest of all time. All right, there you go. 10 questions in the books. I promise. Right back to your phones. Murray, get you updated. There is breaking news on the Anthony Davis front. He'll give it to you right here. We come back and discuss some more football with Bedard.
Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
A lot of people, myself included, call you the GOAT. You know what the GOAT. Greatest of all time.
I don't even like that. I don't even like it. It makes me cringe.
Really?
It makes me cringe. I guess I take compliments worse than I take. I wish you would say you're trash, you're too old, you're too slow, you can't get it done no more. And I would say, thank you very much. I'm gonna go prove you wrong.
You're driven by criticism more than you're driven by success.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm Brady with Michael Strahan. Good morning, America, this morning from Disney World. Again, I find it odd Brady's doing that Disney World thing. Is my understanding he turned it down for years. Now he does it?
Yeah, but that's for the MVP. Edelman probably just asked him to go. You know, so Edelman goes, and he probably asked Tom, hey, well, can you do this with me? And he just
for free?
Just doing him a solid.
I don't mean to be cynical here.
Do
but
his kids go with him?
Macy's.
Maybe, but I don't know. Free? Brady, you know, he's a capitalist like the rest of us. I think he's usually there for an appearance fee.
The mouse has plenty of money.
He doesn't strike me as a Disney kind of guy.
Yeah, I don't know. So anyway,
that's too common.
Side note means nothing. You just want to follow up on Brady and the six titles, Maz? And I mean, you had something on that this morning.
Well, look, I just think that when you're talking about Brady now, how many people can you really mention in the same breath anymore?
That's why Muhammad Ali, Jack Nicklaus, Michael Jordan, Wayne Gretzky. I mean, name another person who deserves to be in that conversation.
See, honestly, I don't even put Gretzky in there. I look at it and I say, if we're talking about team sports now, because those are different. Right? Those are different. It's about elevating teammates and the whole nine yards. So I don't include tennis players, golfers. Like, you know, there's no baseball player like Brady. Forget it. To me, it's three guys. It's Brady. It's Jordan. It's Russell. That's it. Done. I have a, like, who else are we going to put in there? Rocket Richard from the 50s because he won 11 cups or something like that?
Six-team league. I have a hard time with that, which is why I kind of have a hard time with Bill Russell in an eight-team league. Congratulations, you beat the Fort Wayne Pistons and the Tri-City Riverhawks.
Like, okay, but at least
I have a hard time with that.
Okay, but at least he had to go against Wilt. Right? Like, I look at that and say, there was a peer
he also
there.
Went against a lot of 6'3 white guys with buzz cuts and belts.
But Wilt should have beaten him. Like, you know, and I just think Russell was a tremendous competitor. Like, so, you know, to me, there were intangibles there that I add in. But those three guys, that's it. The rest of them, now, Nicholas is right up there, but individual sport.
Yep.
So I mean,
because if I go Nicholas, I've got to go, like, Roger Federer, you know, Nokia, who's a tennis player?
Yeah, Federer.
Novak
Djokovic, whatever. Like, and I don't want to go Federer, Nadal, and Djokovic. Like, and I'm getting that name wrong. I'm with you on Muhammad Ali, Jack Nicklaus. I love them on my list, but if I got to do that, then I got to do the stupid tennis thing, which I'm not going to do.
I mean, like, you know, Yogi Berra. I mean, come on. It's three, and the Yankees had some dynasties too. You know, if you wanted to say modern players, you know,
Jeter's kind of
on the periphery.
Second
year. Yep. He's just below, but he's not the same. It's three guys. Russell, Jordan, Brady.
Duncan?
That's it.
Tim Duncan?
Nope.
Shaq?
Nope.
How many did Shaq win?
Five. Still not Brady. Football's tougher.
Magic?
Football's tougher.
How many did Magic get?
Five. I put Brady ahead. But football's tougher. You got 11 guys. It's harder.
Okay. There's your thoughts. We continue with yours. Jeremy in Salem. What do you got, Jeremy?
Hey, just chiming in on this Brady versus Jordan thing. I think you guys are missing something about Brady's record. So he lost three games, but the Super Bowl is one game, guys. In the NBA, that's a series. Jordan lost plenty of games in the finals.
He never got to a game seven. Jordan never went to a game seven. Let's not belittle Jordan.
So that, and the reason I put Jordan ahead of Brady just by a tick is it's six came in 8 years, and Brady's six came in 18 years.
See, I think that's, I like Brady's mark better.
Because it's so split up.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Now, so look, I'm not telling you Brady over Jordan because I think it's like I can already tell this argument's going to bug me because people are going to rip Jordan, yep, which is stupid, or you're going to rip Brady, which is stupid. So, like, I'm just telling you they belong to be considered side by each.
No question. Okay? Tell me that he's the Jordan of football.
And I will tell you, 6-3 is better than 6-0. That I believe. And I think that doing 6 over 18 years is better than 6 over 8 years. So both those things I would put in Brady's favor. Now, I don't think Brady was as singularly dominant in his sport at an individual level as Jordan was. So, again, you can go back and forth if you like, but hopefully this conversation won't bug me in short order because I'm going to end up, like, ripping one of the two. Jordan in the car is unrelated. Go ahead, Jordan.
How you guys doing? I just got a quick take. Do you think the outcome would have been the same if McVay and Phillips had the full communication on the whole play clock? Do you think they would have been able to adjust to some of the Pat schemes?
Greg, I want to talk to you about this because one of the things that blew me away is how deliberate the Rams were to the line of scrimmage and how often inside of 10 seconds, sometimes 5 seconds against a play clock, they're still fumbling around with their alignment or their play call. And I thought it would have behooved the Rams to play quick, get the play call in by the 15 seconds so McVay is in Goff's ear up until the snap and play it that way. And it felt like it was just the opposite. So your take on that?
Yeah, it didn't play out how I thought it was going to. But, you know, I think your point is valid. I think that the Rams should have played, you know, much faster in this game. And I don't understand, you know, why they didn't. And I thought doing that, getting down close to the play clock, you know, was a disadvantage for Goff. And it was an advantage for the Patriots. And, you know, allowed them to time up the rush and things like that. And I just thought that was a poor move, another poor move on McVay's part.
I mean, the Patriots were content with slowing the game down and keeping the ball, right? They were content with that. So why didn't the Rams ever go no huddle?
Play with some pace, for the love of God.
Well, here's the thing about their offense is that it's almost strictly under center, and it's all relegated on the passing game, which is really they need to hit on first and second down. If they get to third down, they're in big trouble.
Because then it becomes about the quarterback.
Right. And then, you know, and then they had to go to make it a drop back game, and then it's completely not good for Goff.
Steve in Maine on this topic, I believe. Go ahead, Steve. Okay. Not ready to go. Anthony in Medford. Quickly, Anthony.
Yeah. Brady didn't have a great game, Mike. We know that. I mean, some of those throws at the beginning of the game, and he had to call two timeouts because of the Rams' defense. But in all fairness to him, going next year, they have a good shot. But they have to get another receiver because Hogan...
Okay, as usual, you've given me now three, four things. Which one do you want to hit on? Do they need a receiver next year?
I think there's going to be significant change in this roster. I mean, Greg would know better than I do, but when you look across the board, between some aging guys, some guys who are going to retire, some guys who are going to have to take pay cuts, expiring contracts, it feels to me like they're headed to a big transition, which is why this championship was phenomenal.
Well, just let me answer my own question. Receiver is a massive need. Okay, your two starting outside guys, one of them was 0-for-6 on targets and was hot garbage. The other guy, Brady didn't even look at. Okay, and then the third guy is, and I know, well, whatever. He's 32 and has one PED suspension, and just how much, you know, you need a future there. You need a future inside, and you need, I think, two new guys outside.
I mean, this is really about the point they cut bait on Welker.
Okay, and I don't think Edelman's at that point.
He's playing better than Welker. Isn't fewer miles on him.
I don't mean to down him. All I'm saying is that he's your clear-cut number. He's your only guy. Other than Edelman, what do you really bank on? Because Hogan, like, well, that was a lost thing for most of the year.
And include Gronk on that list. I know you're saying receiver, but pass catchers. You know, I'm not betting on Gronk coming back. And even if he is, what's he going to be?
Huge area of need. We wrap it up with the big boy right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5.
The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
Going to wrap it up with Bedard with a question that I did not prepare you for. It's not complicated, okay? But again, I meant to spring it on you, but I just left in the break, and so I didn't have a chance to tell you in the break. So it's, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Off-season needs for the Patriots.
Oh, for crying out loud.
That's such a simple question. My God. Jeez.
Well, let's go through. You said receiver. They're going to need a tight end. I think in general, they need to get younger. I think Juwan Bentley's going to, you know, be a factor for this team. Hopefully, I always forget this kid's name.
Isaiah Wynn?
No, Jackson.
J.C. Jackson.
I think safety's going to be a need. And
okay, do you think safety's going to be a need because the McCourties are done? Or Devin's done?
Yes, I think so.
Okay, and is tight end a need because Gronkowski's done?
Yes, but they need to get younger there anyways. I mean, you know, outside of Gronk, they have nothing. And, you know, he was barely functioning this year. I mean,
I'll tell you what. They have some needs.
They do.
I don't think it's as bad as you guys. Even
hold on. Anyway, go ahead.
Even when after Pittsburgh, people were writing like, you know, this could be the end of things.
I'm not saying that.
I didn't think things were good. Well, some people did, but I mean, like, I just think that I think it's going to take some tweaks, and hopefully they can, you know, they're going to need to do better at the draft. They need to get younger. But I think they're going to be strategically be able to do some things where at the end of the day, by the time they get to camp, you'll be like, yeah, these guys are pretty good. And another factor in all this and them winning the Super Bowl this year is that I don't think there are any dominant teams anymore. Not that there usually are.
I was just going to say, they are so not done, it's not even funny because the field still blows.
Mm-hmm.
There's still going to be double-digit...
Patrick Mahomes doesn't have a defense.
Double-digit wins, home game for the divisional round. That's where they start, which means one game for the conference title. So they're right there, okay, even if they do have these holes. So don't confuse me saying they have holes with how they're going to end up. They're going to be in the same spot. But that being said, good Lord. I mean... If they don't sign Flowers, which I think would be a shame, because they have the money. That's your guy. You drafted, developed him. He's a great player. Like, Trey Flowers should be here. But if he's not, you know, I now wonder, because I don't know if Dedrick Wise can play. I don't know if Rivers can play. I don't know if Claiborne can play. I liked all those guys last training camp. I thought they had something on the edge there this year. I think all three were over. Okay, so like now you have, without Flowers, you have nothing in terms of pass rush, unless you scheme it up. Hightower ain't coming back at that
now,
dollar
figure.
What do
you think they did the last eights of the
season? No, so I mean, I got you, but it'd be nice to have some talent. And Hightower ain't coming back at that number. McCourty's not coming back at that number. Gronk's sort of a toss-up on that. They have nothing at receiver outside. The left tackle is going to cost a boatload of money. They didn't want to pay the left tackle last year. You want to pay the left tackle this year? So, I don't know. There's some pretty good stuff there.
I mean, they got a lot of moving parts. Greg, let me ask you a question if you can answer it in 30 seconds. Could they have played defense the same way, schematically, without Trey Flowers?
Yes.
Would it have worked?
Yeah, probably. It's not like the guy was commanding double teams. I mean, I love Trey Flowers. No.
All right. I mean, it feels to me like he's a guy as an opposing offense you've got a key on.
Well, I mean,
I haven't noticed that at all this year. I mean, I think Trey's a really good player, and he is going to get paid in free agency, and I don't think it's going to be with New England because they have too many spots to fill, and they're about, what do they say, depth, roster management, yeah, whatever their buzzwords are. They're going to need to be about that this year to make sure that the unit's well-rounded, and they're going to have to go find the next Trey Flowers. And I think they have some guys. Well, we won't get into all that.
Go get into all that.
I mean, I think they have some guys that they think are promising that can do a good job. Like guys like Keonta Davis or like, you know, Trent Harris or Derek Rivers and,
okay,
you know,
so Rivers
Wise
is,
maybe.
You still have hope and you still have Rivers and Wise as hopeless.
I don't have a ton of hope for him, but, you know, he's going to be out there. He's going to get a chance. So we'll see. They're going to need guys like that to step up.
Okay, I think there's some interesting roster stuff.
Yeah, there are. There are a lot of moving parts. I want that Schlock kid from Clemson. I want that kid. He's awesome.
Renfro?
Yes, I want him. He has got Patriot written all over him.
Where's he supposed to go, Greg? Do you know?
I have no idea.
Is he supposed to be a highly...
I doubt it.
I don't know. I'll look it up. He's got Patriot written all over
him. I'll be interested to see what his three cone is at the combine because okay, he doesn't look quite like their Schlock guy. He's a little too
tall,
long strider.
Big fella.
Yeah.
Thanks for your help this year.
Hey,
we enjoyed it.
Time.
It was good.
It's always a blast on Felger and Moss.
Appreciate it, Greg.
Give Greg Bedard a follow. Give him a subscription, most importantly. Just watch out for those auto renews. They're sneaky. The Boston Sports Journal, best Patriots coverage in town. It's pretty snappy with the other teams as well. That's where you can read. Greg, we'll check in free agency and draft and all that stuff with you, big boy.
Sounds good.
Okay, I got to get to Kyrie. I got to get to Kyrie and Anthony Davis and all this stuff. There's too much meat on that bone. Okay, we're going to do some Kyrie stuff, some Celtics stuff. Coming up right after Murray's 90-second update, there's no commercial, so don't go anywhere.
Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.